Franzoni. He's written Gladiator and many other things, and we welcome him to the show. How you doing?
Oh, not bad. Not bad. Yourself?
I'm doing great. You must be really excited about the nomination.
Yeah, we are. It was a heck of a movie.
It was a heck of a movie, and boy, it made a big star, Russell Crowe, huh?
Yeah, Russell was a great guy. I tell you, we needed somebody, and he stepped in, and it sure paid off for him.
Did you guys think that was going to be such a huge success that it was?
Well, of course, we hoped it would be.
Yeah, of course.
It was an expensive film, so we were assuming we'd do pretty well, but we didn't realize we'd do this well.
You never know what kind of buzz the thing's going to generate until it just happens, does it?
No, it was kind of an oddball film. Everyone sort of pointed at it as the curious film of the year. No one knew quite how to place it, but the audience didn't have a problem.
Mm. I understand you also write for The Sopranos on HBO.
No, actually, I did write some stuff for HBO, not for The Sopranos. The only thing I'd written for HBO, I think, was Citizen Kane for Jimmy Woods years back.
That was a cool movie.
Yeah, pretty good.
Well, when did you start screenwriting?
Well, I'm from Vermont originally, and I got out of college, and I bummed around the world a bit on a motorcycle and kind of decided I wanted to be a screenwriter, so I picked up a car from a guy on unemployment in Vermont, and that made it out to California, where I rented a typewriter. That was in 1978, I think. And I just dug in and started writing.
I mean, you had to get a first. What was your first break?
You know, you have the catch-22 out here. You can't get an agent unless you've sold something, and you can't sell something unless you have an agent.
Right.
It was about 4 years after I got out here, I got someone interested in a spec script I'd written. It became Jumping Jack Flash. It was quite a different script originally, that Whoopi Goldberg picture.
Right, yeah. Wow. So that was your first screenwriting credit.
That was it.
That's pretty interesting, though, that your first one was a major picture.
Yeah. It was surprising because it was written as a small picture, actually.
Huh.
And actually, it wasn't even written as a comedy.
Really? It wasn't written as a comedy? Okay.
They had some light moments, but it was it was a serious film.
Wow. That's interesting, though, that was your first film. I remember that film. And so that must have opened some doors. And once you get your first one in, doors open up a little bit?
Yeah, I was, the hot writer for a while here. And the problem was everyone thought I wrote comedies.
Hmm.
Which wasn't exactly what I was doing.
So what was your follow-up to that?
Well, I did a lot of, you do a lot of work in the business that's not credited, like you'll do a lot of rewrite work, for instance, on pictures that are about to go.
Yeah.
But the next credited, there's a couple that I took my name off, one of which was Red Sonja.
Uh-huh.
And, but the next credited thing was Citizen Kane. And then after that, I had a relationship with Oliver Stone, who sort of got me going on bigger stuff.
Yeah.
But
you mentioned taking your name off the credits. Obviously, to do that, you would not be happy with the final script. Does that affect your paycheck?
Yes, it does. I mean, it's not necessarily that you're not happy with the script. There's several things come into play. One is the Writers Guild, at the end, when the picture is ready to go to the theaters, makes a determination based on the amount of work people did whether or not they should get a screenplay credit at all. And a couple of them I took my name off because I felt that I didn't deserve it based on the body of work. For instance, the original writer had done the work, and I felt that I couldn't have done that. I had actually, done a lot of good stuff on the piece, but it wasn't my original creation. So in some cases, it's an artistic choice.
Hmm. Did you ever go to any kind of formal classes to learn to screenwrite?
No, I was a geology major, actually. Really paid off, huh?
Get sick of the rocks and went into...
Well, I don't know. You know, I just take something in school, and then you wake up one morning after you're out of school and do something else. You know how it is.
Yeah. Well, what was it like growing up in Vermont?
No, I love Vermont. It's, I just like New England in general. It's a great place to, this culture. In Vermont, of course, it's a nice place to... lots of room to be quiet and think and get your writing done. Out here, it's a bit of a rat race.
Do you get back to Vermont at all?
Yeah, I still have a place back there.
Do you?
All the time.
What part of California are you in now?
I'm in Malibu.
Yeah. I was out in Sherman Oaks for a while.
And, yeah, what did you think of it?
In the valley. I'll tell you, who was I talking with the other day? One of the stars of one of the TV shows that came on the other day. We were talking about being single out in Hollywood. and the superficial way that people look at each other out there, it's just amazing. You know, you're as good as you were the day before. That's kind of, I love the weather, and I really enjoyed it out in California. I think I belong in California, but the superficiality of everything was kind of annoying.
That's my big concern about my son. I'm a 9-year-old growing up here now, and I'm trying to convince my wife, who's originally from Connecticut, mm-hmm. we need to move closer to Manhattan so my son can have a culture as he grows up. But I think we'll get there, but it's a bit of a battle because the weather's pretty nice out here.
When you're raising a kid in Malibu Beach, it's not exactly real life. You know?
No, it isn't. And we do a lot of traveling. That's the, I mean, the only way that I can excuse myself for this. But it's an unbelievably superficial environment out here.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it, actually, you know, because I was working at one point for NBC, and you know, you're a big hero. Everybody wants to have you at every party. And, of course, if you're not there anymore, then you disappear off the list. All your quote-unquote friends turned out to be just people that, you know, were looking for the title that you held. It's amazing.
Yeah, we don't have, I mean, for the sake of my son growing up with some sanity, we have very few, quote, show business friends.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of, you know,
yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. A screenwriter is part of showbiz, but on the other hand, you're a little bit on the outside. Not like a star, because you're not recognized. I mean, you can't walk. You'll walk down the street, and most people won't say, "Oh, there's David."
Yeah, no. I mean, we're a bit of an embarrassment too, because once the picture is done, and actually if it's doing well, then everyone wants to pretend it's their movie.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this, unfortunately, this guy who actually wrote it.
Right. Of course, if the movie sinks, it's because the writing was lousy.
Oh, that's the writer's fault, of course.
Now, you mentioned, you know, writing for a movie for HBO. Have you done a lot of TV work or any TV work?
I'm developing a new TV series right now for CBS, which they are currently finding a bit too edgy, so I'm not sure how far we're going to go with this.
Hmm.
There's a couple of projects I did for Oliver Stone, one of which was about George Washington. That's not a TV piece, it's a feature.
Yeah.
That I'm going to try, Doug Wick and I, Doug is the producer with me, I'm glad here. Try to resurrect that this year. So I'm focusing everything now on features and keeping out of TV altogether.
Yeah, TV can be lucrative. I mean, if you look at David E. Kelly, obviously, some writers can do quite well on TV. But
yeah, you can make a lot of money in TV. I mean, it depends. I think in the end, you have to feel good about what you did, not just that you're driving something nice.
Yeah, I assume that screenwriting for movies pays well as well.
It pays pretty well. I mean, it's a harder stroke getting going, and you know the pay leap isn't quite so big. But once you're in the, you know, once you're doing well, you're doing well.
Yeah, because I mean, I've spoken to, there's a gentleman named Spike Ferriston who wrote for Seinfeld, and actually comes from this area, from Bridgewater, Massachusetts, and he was telling me the kind of money that they make per episode for some of these shows for the writers. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. Although, if you're doing some what they call production rewrite on films out here, you can pick up six figures a week.
Really?
Yeah. And that's okay, you know. There are some people who make a career out of it. I don't know how they do it. I'd get dizzy, to be honest.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That doesn't sound like inwardly it would be rewarding.
No.
You know? I think you have to have some kind of you know, pride, be able to take a look at what you've written and, you know, your baby that's right there. And
yeah,
if you're just rewrites all day, that's not really your own thought.
The piece I did for Stephen's company before, Gladiator, was Amistad. And although it wasn't a huge financial success, in the end it turns out doing pretty well. Yeah, it is one of those pictures that I'm real proud of.
And well, yeah, I think it got a lot of critical acclaim.
It got a lot of critical acclaim. We had a lot of problem with a lawsuit from a novelist who believed she owned all the rights in the world to the Amistad story.
Hmm.
And it was a difficult film to write. It was a difficult film to make. And then, you know, we got pounded by, you know, people who were trying to, you know, I think personally my opinion was take Stephen for a ride, of course.
Yeah.
And but it's worth it to be able to do something like that, even if you end up with, you know, just a little dust on your hands.
Have you thought about or have you written any books?
I'm actually working on a couple of novels right now. So, yeah, I've thought about it. It's
a natural progression.
Pardon me?
It seems to be a natural progression.
Well, oddly enough, I mean, depending on what you're trying to write, oddly enough, mechanically it's easier than a screenplay because you can sort of, you know, you can go into people's heads, you can jump around in time. So writing a novel is like this luxury all of a sudden. I can do anything I want.
Do you already have a publisher lined up for it?
I'm not done. I have a couple. I have a New York agent, and I don't think Over the Rock is going to get published. But it's a question of, you know, when I'm going to find the time to get it done.
You mentioned you have a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Is he into sports?
Yeah. Well, actually, right now he's tennis and archery. We did the soccer routine. I was a soccer coach for a while, and then got, you know, bored of that. And we did the t-ball and baseball thing out here, and he's quite good, but. Decided he wanted to be an archer and a tennis player.
That's interesting.
Very.
It's a real fun age. I have a 9-year-old son myself who's into football and baseball, and right now we're in the basketball season. I'm coaching that. But archery around here is not exactly one of those readily available sports.
Yeah, last time I was back in Vermont, I heard that actually some guy had gotten shot out of a tree with an arrow during bow season up there.
Yes, yeah.
I wanted to bring that news to my son because, you know, to show him that it's a living sport. But on the other hand...
Well, yeah, it is, but you got to be careful with it.
Yeah, no, he's taking lessons from an Olympic archer.
Well, that's another thing, see? Yeah. Dad can give him an Olympic archer.
How long have you been... Are you in Boston?
Yeah.
How long have you been living in Boston?
I've been here all my life.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just love it back there.
I love New England a lot. I'd never leave here. I mean, I was out in California for a little while. In Florida for a little while, but my heart always will belong here.
Yeah.
And although I must say that with all the snow we have on the ground here and the temperature today below zero, I sometimes question my decision.
No, I miss the snow. I'm telling you, it was 80 degrees last week out here.
Oh, I feel terrible for you, David.
Pardon me?
I feel terrible for you.
Well, during the holidays, it just doesn't seem like New Year's and Christmas, I'm telling you.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll take a 80-degree New Year's and Christmas and be very happy, you know. I'll carry around the mistletoe with me. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
But good luck on the Golden Globes. Hopefully you'll win for Gladiator.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
But it must be just fun even being nominated.
Yeah, it's okay. I don't mind being nominated. I mean, I personally don't like going to these events very much. It's, I don't know. But,
is it? Why don't you like going to the events? Do you think it's phony baloney or...
Well, no, it's not so much that it's phony. Well, it's a bit of that, of course, but it just, you know, it's so absurd. It's a bit like going to some assembly in high school. I mean, you know, just call us up and tell us if we won or not, you know.
Yeah, but there'd be no tension in that.
I know.
They have to have the pictures, the multiple pictures of all the nominees so they can see some people going,
We're probably going to get nominated. I don't want to tempt the demons for the Academy, and that's, but they've got a great bar at the Academy, so they can handle that one.
Well, that would be. Have you ever been nominated for any of these major awards before?
Oddly enough, for Citizen Kane, I won. I was nominated for a Golden Globe. No, I'm sorry, they didn't do TV for Golden Globe. I was nominated for an Emmy. I won the Cable Ace. I won Peabody Award. I won the there's some big writers award that I won.
Now, do you have those on your mantle right now?
I got them right next to my son's soccer trophies.
There you go.
Just so he'll understand how important things really are.
Yeah, I think that if you win a Golden Globe or even more so an Academy Award, that'll definitely have to have a special place.
I don't know. Yeah, next to my son's baseball trophy. No, I mean, if you lose perspective out here, you're in trouble.
Yeah,
and
that's
true. One of the big things that everyone said about Gladiator is no one, when I was pitching this around town, everyone thought I was nuts. And the only person who took it seriously was Steven Spielberg. I mean, my pitch to Steven was essentially 2 minutes long. He immediately got that we'd be able to recreate Rome using the, you know, modern technologies
right. For
filmmaking the way that, you know, George Lucas might, you know, recreate Star Wars, and it would bring something to the screen that has never been done. But, you know, if you lose perspective and try to chase what everybody else is chasing, you know, you're finished. So, I mean, yeah, I love the award thing, and it's all great, but I'm a New England boy. I'm a Vermonter, man. I mean, you can't take this stuff real seriously.
Yeah, Spielberg has that talent, though, that he can detect a good idea in a few minutes and go with it, where a lot of these other people just, they don't get it.
Yeah, no, Steven has the knack, and the nice thing about working with Steven is because he is the studio, you don't have to go through a committee. You just, when I handed the first draft of the script, we didn't have a director attached or any talent. And Steven immediately launched a line producer to go out and start finding locations and finding costumes and start budgeting.
Right.
So by the time the director came on board, you know, we had something for him to get going on.
Makes it a lot easier for you, too.
Well, it makes it a lot easier. It also, you know, makes it feel like you're actually going to get your movie made. I'm telling you, the other studios, I'd say 90% of the stuff that gets written in this town just gets shelved.
Yeah, and from what I understand, because we've had a few screenwriters on already, some of them tell me they get paid quite a bit of money, and none of the films have ever been made.
Oh, you get paid, sure. I mean, you can have quite a good career out here. As long as the reason movies don't get made can't be blamed on you, like the director falls out or some other problem.
Right.
If you're producing a good product, even if it's not getting made, you're getting paid and you're having a career. It's just frustrating.
Yeah, I would assume so. I mean, I think that a lot of people would probably trade in the paycheck to get it on the screen. You know?
Well, oddly enough, you know, there are a bunch of people in television who, after they've, you know, maxed out their checkbooks doing that, want to do film work because it's, in the end, it's far more satisfying. Although television is much better than it used to be. There's no question about it. And film, in many ways, is lousier than it used to be. It's still much more fulfilling to be involved in film, I think.
Mm. Any TV shows that you watch that you really admire, the screenwriters?
Barely watch TV at all.
I thought you were going to say, a lot of people tell me Frasier is a very well-written show.
Well, I've seen Frasier. Of course, those shows are. I mean, the ones that are obvious, you know. There are supposed to be a couple of new ones coming out this year. My wife tries to keep track for me, and that I'll take a look at. But, I just, you know, as soon as the first commercial comes on, I'm out of there.
Well, David, I want to wish you a lot of luck with the Golden Globes and with your whole career, and we look forward to seeing your name all over the place.
Well, I really appreciate it, and thanks for giving me a chance to talk to you guys.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.